Netcasting from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Sydney, you're listening to this week's FX Podcast from FXGuide.com.
Thanks for taking the time to download our podcast. I'm John Montgomery. The subject this week is the Previsualization Society. It's a new organization, and we're going to be touching base with two of the co-founders of that, Ron Frankel and Colin Green. But before we get to that, I just want to mention that probably most of you already know, but we've started our new term over at our sister site, fxphd.com. We've got a fantastic slate of new courses, with some featuring on stereoscopy. We've got a great intro course with that. Also a new course on stereoscopic. And then ranging the gamut from how to build a post boutique to motion graphics design courses with Tim Clapham, directing with Jason Wingrove, as well as Scratch, Synthize, Houdini, and more. So really a great term going on in October over at FX PhD. Really been a great success so far. And if you want, take the time to check that out over at fxphd.com. As I mentioned earlier, our subject is the Previsualization Society. It's an organization that was just formed, and the idea of it is to kind of foster community within previsualization field, as well as promote, you know, applications, standard and practices, and so forth. A really interesting idea. It's a field that's really been around probably for the last 15 or 20 years or so, so it's relatively new in the whole scheme of filmmaking, but definitely a rapidly expanding area. And so I think it's probably pretty critical to actually come up with some standard and procedures, as well as build a community with that. We're actually going to start out speaking with Colin Green, who's the founder of Pixel Liberation Front, an outstanding previs film firm out in Venice. And Mike actually asked Colin actually how the whole idea of forming the Previsualization Society came to be.
So I'm interested how this group of very senior and very well established previs people came together in the first place. Are you guys all friends? You all know each other? I mean, most of you are based in California, right?
Yeah, we are mostly based in California, although different parts of California, and we had mostly not met prior to an event that was almost 2 years ago now called the Previs Roundtable that the ADG put on, I guess in response to their membership asking their technology committee to figure out this Previs thing and how they should work with it. So they got us all around a table, and we had like a four-hour meeting called the Previs Roundtable that was moderated by Bill Deswitz from the effects world.
It must have been a pretty interesting experience to actually hook up all of these key companies in what is a fairly emerging and pivotal new area of filmmaking.
Well, I think that was one of the things. The second step of the process was that the ADG and the VES and the ASC all formed this joint previs subcommittee that was had five of us on it as members and a bunch of other people, visual effects supervisors and producers and DPs and, you know, broad spectrum across the industry, and we sat down to start a 12-meeting series to discuss what Previs was and where it was going. And it was pretty clear from the first meeting that everyone had a slightly different definition of what Previs was. And depending on who was talking about it, it would be a different thing to the next person's thing. And then in that context, I got to know the other Previs company owners who are, you know, my competitors and whom I didn't really know at that point, and we realized that this is a great opportunity to find out what our common goals were and speak to the community with a unified voice.
Did you find that the companies had similar issues, that were facing similar challenges, or was it very different between the companies that have now gone on to become the sort of founding members of the society?
Well, I don't know about the sort of business challenges that we face. I don't know that we have discussed that a lot as a society, but definitely in terms of the philosophy of how we approach previs and how the process should work, there was a great deal of commonality, more than, frankly, that I was expecting from these groups that we had been competing with for years.
Tell me, what is it that that you hope to provide members with, somebody that was actually would be joining up as a who's actually an active artist working in previs? What would they hope to benefit from being a member of the society?
Well, we're trying to make the emphasis on having our web portal be a useful professional resource for working previs people, and not just for previs artists, but for others that touch the previs process along the way. I think that's one of the unique things about what we're doing that's a bit different from some of the other professional societies in our industry, that we're sort of very interdisciplinary and cross a lot of boundaries, because a lot of people that work with Previz don't necessarily totally understand it or may have never worked with it before, and they need to have a place that they can get their questions answered, which is what we're hoping the society will be. So it's not intended to be just a resource for artists. It's a resource for everyone who comes in contact with Previz.
In just in terms of the society itself, I'm interested what you feel the society would give somebody that's a Previz artist that they couldn't get from membership of, say, a VES or one of the other industry organizations. What do you hope to be able to give somebody that's unique?
We want to have accessible databases and tools. And, for example, a lot of us have shot movies on different Warner Brothers stages over the time. We have accumulated 3D models of different Warner Brothers stages that you can bring in for reference to see if your sets fit on different numbered stages from Warner Brothers. So we want to have tangible assets like that that we have collected over the years that the whole community needs to benefit from. So if I'm shooting a film at Fox Studios in Sydney, I have the different stages as 3D models as one of my assets when I start the project that I've downloaded from the Society website. So that's one tangible thing. And another thing that we're doing that's tangible is creating handbooks that are best practice guides for artists, we're going to create a practitioner's handbook, which is a best practice guide for people doing Previz, actual Previz artists, and also a Previz consumer's handbook, which is if you're a producer that's buying Previz and you want to know how to set things up and what to expect at different stages of the process, that's all outlined in the consumer's handbook. So those are going to be the main resources that we're offering our members.
I thought it was actually quite interesting that this came up from a round table discussion several years ago, and in fact that the principals actually hadn't met each other. I kind of took the community to be small enough that those guys would have probably crossed paths at some point over time. But anyway, quite interesting to hear about the birth of the society. Now, Mike Seymour also spoke with Ron Frankel, as I mentioned, and Ron is the founder of Proof, another fantastic Previz firm, also based in Los Angeles. And we really wanted to get to the bottom line as to why the Previz Society was needed. In other words, what does a Previz Society provide that other organizations such as VES don't?
I think the answer to that, and I don't know how concise I can be about it, but the answer to that is that Previz, what we're all discovering, and this comes out of this this committee, the ASC ADG VES Committee on Previz, and what we all discovered through the process of getting together, and this was visual effects supervisors, art directors, production designers, cinematographers, visual effects producers, a broad array, and Previz practitioners. And what we discovered is that Previz is really kind of becoming a very kind of a discipline in its own right. It's not animation anymore, and what people are looking for, what clients are looking for from Previz, is really kind of a broad range of skills applied in a very specific way. And as we kind of had this dialogue going on with all these different members of the film community, the practitioners among us kind of started to think about it. We all discovered that we had a lot of common ground on how we viewed Previz and what makes a good Previz artist, what makes a good Previz supervisor, how Previz should be integrated into a production, you know, what the benefits are from Previz, and also, you know, some of the cautionary tales of Previz gone wrong, productions where, or examples where, you know, Previz wasn't necessarily put to the best use. And what we discovered is that we all kind of shared a lot of common experience. We had a lot of kind of similar thoughts on the process, and really thought that there would be a benefit to the overall industry if we could put all of these ideas into one place to disseminate this information and really take upon kind of an educational outreach. And ultimately, we were going to put together for this joint Previz committee, we're going to put together a handbook of best practices. And what we discovered is that it's really a lot of work. It's not like a finite amount of work that could just be, you know, wrapped up in one PDF and handed off. That this is really kind of an ongoing effort on our part to help define best practices for our industry. And the idea of putting together a society focused specifically on what it is that we do seemed like a great vehicle for achieving that goal. So it's certainly there's a lot of overlap with the VES. I think there's a lot of overlap with a lot of the other societies and organizations, since the nature of Previs is just that it overlaps with all of these other disciplines. But in as much as it overlaps with them, it is a discipline in its own right, and we all felt that it would be best served by having a society that could really focus on the needs and interests of the Previs artist, and how the Previs artist interacts with and communicates with the film production.
So if somebody wanted to become a member of the American Cinematographer Society, or for that matter, the Australian Cinematographer Society, those organizations have been around for many, many years, and they have an accreditation process. You can obviously join as an associate member, but to become an accredited member, be able to stick the letters after your name, requires you to apply, have a review panel, and to be accepted. I'm wondering, how formal or informal is membership of the society? Who's it open to? Do I just apply, and if so, how much do I pay, or do I have to apply and be vetted and put in, my years of experience and get letters from 18 references? What's involved in joining?
Sure. We're working out a lot of those rules right now. Obviously, the rollout's coming quickly, so we're trying to lock down all of the proper procedures. But it does, in a way, follow the a lot of what we're seeing from, for instance, the Visual Effects Society. We do have different levels of membership. There's a level of membership for the practitioner. There's a membership for what we call the associate, which are people who might be involved in Previs, but they're not necessarily the practitioner. So that would be the cinematographer, the production designer, people who are simply interested in Previs. So there are definitely different. We're going to be open to different levels of membership depending on your role and your involvement. And among the practitioners, yes, there will be some sort of vetting process. I think we're still working out the exact details of it. It's not going to be very onerous, because the idea is obviously to build a community and build membership. So we're not trying to create any kind of exclusive club that whose intent is to keep people out. What we're trying to build is an inclusive community whose intent is to draw in all the people who are actually practicing Previs in all of its many, many different forms, and to start to hear about experiences that people are having working wherever it is that they're working. So the idea is to keep the membership process, I think, as streamlined and simple as possible.
And in fact, I think there are, five levels of membership, ranging from student membership to, as you said, educational associate and a full-on Previs professional membership.
Yeah, and then the charter members.
And in fact, the fees are very modest, because we're only talking about sort of something between about $25 and $80 to be a member.
Yeah.
So Ron, you've at a personal level done just some awesome work that I've really enjoyed in feature film work, and yet your background, you have a bachelor's degree, I think, in philosophy and a master's in architecture. Am I right? So I guess the question I'd like to ask is, for someone that's at your level, which is obviously, Pirates of the Caribbean and beyond, it's just you've done an enormous amount of amazing stuff. What do you think is a good background? What makes for a good person to be a good Previs artist, given that you do actually, as we touched on earlier, span so many disciplines, from camera department to timing to almost acting, right through to sort of 3D and beyond?
Yeah. I will say this, there's really no hard and fast rule to that, is what I've discovered from my years of experience. I used to, in the past, ironically avoid anyone who came out of any kind of animation school or had any formal visual effects training, because I found that the people who did have that kind of specific training were very well versed in the world of visual effects and animation for visual effects, but they didn't really understand, Previs exists in the real world. I mean, what we're trying to do is create simulations of what's going to happen in the real world when they go film. So real cameras, real people, And what I had discovered is that people who came out of visual effects training and computer animation training didn't necessarily have that sensibility. So in the early days, I really looked towards people who came out of architecture school. I found to be a great resource. And beyond that, you know, some of the earliest people I worked with who were exceptional were, you know, sculptors, musicians, art history majors. I mean, it's really all over the place. And I think that now that's changed tremendously. I think a lot of the people coming out of animation school, Gnomon, SCAD, are two that come to mind immediately. I think Previs has kind of come into its own to some degree, and I think there are people coming out of those schools who understand Previs and really get it at a conceptual level. So in terms of actual formal training, I think it's wide open. I think it's anyone who, you know, displays an interest in Previs and wanting to get into it. In terms of personality, it's people who are open to really pushing themselves and willing to step out of their comfort zone and begin to understand what a particular problem looks like from someone else's perspective. And I know that's a you know, I don't know how you quantify that, but it's really beginning to look at a shot and understand, okay, what does that look like from the visual effects supervisor's point of view? Like, what's the visual effects supervisor's, you know, what is he or she worried about late at night when they think about this shot? Or, you know, what is the cinematographer seeing in this shot? What is the director trying to get out of the shot? I mean, those are all end up being very, very different answers, although our job is to come up with a common solution. So, you know, the cinematographer is looking for composition and lighting. The visual effects supervisor is certainly worried about, you know, how they're going to deliver the shot and, you know, how it's going to be executed. And the director is looking for story and wants to make sure that the shot is telling the right story and telling it in the most effective and evocative way. So at the end of the day, the key is really people who are willing to be very open-minded and push themselves into new areas and take on challenges that, you know, they might not necessarily feel qualified to do, but do so in a very kind of, you know, willing and open-minded way.
I mean, it's a really interesting position, isn't it? I mean, I heard a talk that Ron Howard gave, he referenced a comment that was made by George Lucas, and it when Ron Howard was discussing his nervousness about dealing with the previs and storyboarding process, and he was like, apparently the advice he got was, you know, look, relax, don't tell them what to do because you already know what you want to do and you can do. Let them show you some new stuff, because at this early stage of filmmaking, it's great to get new ideas that are fresh. And yet, in that sense, the advice was let the previous guys come up with new stuff and sort of surprise you with in their interpretation. And then I also heard Chris Edwards talking, and he was saying that the first thing he does is go and rent all the movies of the director he's going to be working with to make sure that they pick up on the directorial style of that individual director. So there is an enormous creative contribution here, but tempered with it wants to be in the style of the director you're working with.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah, I think that's...
How do you walk that line, I guess, and how do you teach that line?
If you answer that one, tell me, because I don't know. I think that every show, if it's a team, and Previs efforts usually are teams of people, I'm a big proponent of really creatively opening up the floor to every member of the team. I think when you get to this area, there's no amount of experience or seniority really dictates who is more creative than anyone else. You know, someone might be a better animator, someone might be, you know, have a better eye, you know, there might be certain things that they excel at, but, you know, when it comes to just pure creativity, coming up with exciting new shots, coming up with, you know, new ways to tell a story, I think everyone on the team, regardless of how much experience they have, certainly has valid ideas that they can put on the table. And then I think it's up to the supervisor on the job to start to cull through those ideas and decide which ones really fit that particular show, and which ones might simply be good ideas but not necessarily in this particular in the context of that movie. But yeah, I think that more and more it's interesting because the Previs, when I started out, really was not so much about the creative collaboration as it was on the creative problem solving, that we were being approached with specific kinds of shots and specific problems and being asked to weigh in and help figure out the best solution to a problem. And what's interesting is it really has been an evolution over the past, I'd say, kind of two, three years. I'm sure you can find, you know, evidence of it earlier, but as a general trend, I kind of put it in the last couple of years of Previz really as a creative storytelling tool, as much as a technical problem-solving tool. I mean, there's always the technical shot planning, design element there, but yes, we're getting many more directors approaching us and saying, you know, basically, here's an idea for a sequence, run with it. You know, show me some cool ideas, show me some cool shots, and, you know, let's figure out a way to make this, you know, as exciting as possible.
So Ron, if I was to ask whether, in light of that comment, whether or not getting some recognition for that contribution in terms of, I don't know, some kind of either Previz award system or some way of just bringing some recognition to the enormous contribution of the Previz artists, is that going to be part of the society's mandate?
You know, it's not something that we've really discussed. You know, that's certainly not a primary or a secondary goal. I think that at some point down the road, everyone obviously loves to get recognition for the work they've done and for the contributions they've made to a particular film. But I don't think that's foremost on anyone's mind right now. But I do think that we are going to look to the Previz Society and the Society's website as a way of sharing our work, because you do get to see people's Previz work show up on the bonus features of DVDs. But I do think we're definitely gonna look to using the Previz Society as a forum in which we get to, you know, really showcase the work that we're doing, so that more people can see it, more people can see the kinds of contributions that we're making. Because, you know, I know, having seen a lot of the work that my competitors have been doing recently, it's fun. I mean, it's nice seeing what everyone else is up to, and there's definitely some good work out there. So I think award ceremony, the black tie event, might be a little ways off, but certainly some way to use the society to showcase the work going on. I mean, a perfect example of that is, for instance, it's not even amongst the five companies, but I recently got to see some of the Previz that was done for Wanted, and that was exceptional. I mean, it was phenomenal work, and I don't know if it's on the DVD. I saw it before the DVD was out. I had a chance to meet with Timur and see the work, and you know, it was really great stuff. And it was done by you know, people that he knew in Russia, I believe, some animators that he knew in Russia. So, you know, that's another big part of it, is starting to see the work that's coming out of you know, maybe some of the, not necessarily the Previz companies themselves, but some of the other Previz efforts that are going on.
I've seen Previz work that you've done on Minority Report and Panic Room and stuff, being sort of two ends of a spectrum, I guess, one being getting the beats down and one being really very detailed camera kind of stuff. And I must say, it is fascinating to watch that part of the filmmaking process, and it is a shame that in some senses we don't see that unless, as you say, it's included in the DVD. So hopefully those artists will get a chance to get a bit more recognition for the tremendous contribution they make.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking time to talk to us. We really appreciate it. It's been terrific.
No problem.
As always, with our guests on the Effects Podcast, we appreciate both Ron and Colin for taking the time to chat with us. We're more than happy to spread the word about the Previz Society. It's great to see people building communities. And in fact, I guess you could say that's one reason we started FXGuide.com back in the day, was to build a community, an online community of artists. And look where it's got us now. So if you'd like to find out more about the Previz Society, be sure to check out their website. It's www.previzsociety.com. That's one word, Previz, PrevizSociety.com. If you haven't checked out FX Guide TV lately, be sure to do so. For those of you who speak Spanish, about a little over a couple months ago, actually by now, we started FX Guide TV in Espanol, which has been a big hit in the Spanish-speaking market. So be sure to check that out. as well as Red Center, which of course discusses the Red camera, but as well as things like the 70, 5D, and digital filmmaking in general. Well, again, thanks for taking the time to download and listen to our podcast. For my partners in crime at Effects Guide, Mike Seymour and Jeff Huser, thanks for dropping by.
Please let us know if you have any suggestions for stories or future podcasts. You can reach us by using the Contact Us links at the top of the homepage. This podcast is copyright 2008 FX Guide LLC. Broadcast or redistribution is prohibited without the expressed written consent of FX Guide.